If you think thinkorswim isn't for you, think again. It's a dynamic suite of trading platforms designed for every kind of trader. Whether you're just getting started on your trading journey, been at it a while, or somewhere in the middle, thinkorswim is for you. Available on web, desktop, and mobile. Visit thinkorswim.com to learn more. TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org. It's okay
with you. All right, we are back. And put your headset on. We're back. Now, these guys don't have their headsets on. Man, but nobody would have known it had I not said anything. But I said something. All right, anyhow, we have... we're going to play this clip. And now this is off of Stu Peters' program. And folks, the pastors are starting to awaken. And you know what people are doing? They're actually going out and looking for churches. Not entertainment centers, okay? Not apostate, because today, because of biblical literacy, you have people sitting in churches that are satanic churches. And they're United Church of Christ, the Antichrist. The Episcopal, they're clueless. A lot of your World and National Council churches are not Christian churches. But because of biblical literacy, people don't know that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But anyhow, we're going to play this clip, and this is on Stu Peters' program, and listen to it because it's a good one. Take her away.
Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. We are living through one of the most profound cultural transformations that human history has ever seen. You know, on Tuesday was the 79th anniversary of the D-Day landings in World War II. A handful of those soldiers are still alive. Do you think that any of them can recognize the country that they fought for, many of them died for? Our World War II soldiers fought for Christian civilization. They fought for democracy. They fought for our constitutional rights. They've now lived long enough to see their own country basically declare war on Christianity and fall under the control of totalitarian oligarchs. They have seen the cross torn down and replaced with the abomination that we call a pride flag. They've seen Hollywood become a modern Sodom that promotes extreme sex and drug use and anti-white hatred. They've seen statues of American heroes like Thomas Jefferson torn down in the middle of the street. In short, our nation has fallen away from God. And bringing it back will mean bringing us back to God. Churches have always played a leading role in America's most important political movements. And if we're going to salvage this country, they will have to play a leading role again. Reverend Bill Cook is the founder of America's Black Robe Regiment, a national association of patriotic pastors trying to secure the blessings of American liberty for our descendants through involvement in local government, as we are commanded to do so by God. The Black Robe Regiment has chapters in 12 states and hopes to be in all 50 by next year. Very ambitious. How to do that? Well, we'll find out. To that end, Reverend Cook joins us now. Sir, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Of course. You know, it's worth mentioning that the American Revolution was purely a religious uprising against the crown. Famous secularists like Thomas Paine were adamant that the revolution was more akin to the Jacobin uprising France ended up seeing a few years later. So from where we sit, given the results of the American Revolution, it's hard to argue that Paine was wrong and that America was truly a Christian nation. So how will this version of the Black Robe Regiment differ from what we've seen in history? Will it be more overtly religious? Will we cave to bogus claims about the separation of church and state?
Well, you mentioned separation of church and state, the Johnson Amendment, and what we're challenging pastors to do is ignore the Johnson Amendment, not to submit to it, not to sign up for it. You know, we have theological institutions today that turn out graduates who are preparing for the ministry, and they may think that my first order of business is getting my 501c3 so that I can be nonprofit and get donations. But we're saying, you know, if that's what you're that's what your goal is to build donations. You know, you can have your donations, but you can't have your country. You can't have it both ways. And so we're saying to pastors, they need to preach the whole counsel of God. They need to preach election sermons. They need to demand and mandate that every single member of their flocks vote when there's an election. They need to, they have a role to play in the government. They have a curative role. That's the salt of the earth. The churches do, and the pastors to play in securing liberty. We are the salt of the earth. Salt is a curator. We are the curators of our society. And if we abandon the society, we wonder why our society is rotting today. And I believe it's because pastors have not really done their duty to stand up and preach the whole counsel of God and call their congregations into that process. That's the salt of the earth. We're the curators and the preservers of our society. We're the sole curators of our society. And what we do when we ignore what's happening in government, when we divorce ourselves from it, we say, Jesus is coming back. You know, I'm not going to do anything. You know, the world's going to go to hell. So I'm going to be with Jesus. What we essentially do is we surrender our society to the children of disobedience. And we know that children of disobedience, their behavior is controlled by a principle called the prince of the power of the air, who works in their lives. So when it's no wonder things are being wrecked and destroyed, because the children of disobedience have no concept of how to secure liberty. They don't even know what liberty is. They think it's being transgender or being able to be homosexual or to, you know, traffic in children. And so we're saying, no, that's not okay. That's wrong. And so the church has got to be the one that does it. We're the salt of the earth.
This country's been infiltrated on so many levels, and virtually every single bureaucracy that we see, every single federal government organization has been overtaken. Even our military has been overtaken. We've become a conquered country, essentially. Our military won't even perform its sole obligation to its country by defending and protecting its borders and protecting citizens of this country from a physical invasion, which is being perpetuated right now by this fake installed illegitimate government, which is now a corporate crime syndicate. Our churches also too have been infiltrated, because when I go and I sit in congregations at different churches, I see this lukewarm approach. We were just talking about this in the studio not long ago. This lukewarm approach by pastors that is, the loving thing to do is to wear a mask. Remember that during COVID. The loving thing to do is to get an injection to prevent other people from getting sick. What happened? How did we allow this?
Well, we started believing lies. You know, when you think, Stu, when you go back to the book of Genesis and you look at the story of creation and you look at the fall of Adam, you know, the whole process of introducing tyranny and the fall of man was a lie. And so what is happening to us today is we are in our nation through the media and through other channels, we are being flooded with deceit. And deceit is the modus operandi of tyranny. It's the principal method that tyranny uses to take over a society, to subjugate a people. And we're being subjugated by lies, and we're submitting to them. We're believing the lie that we had to wear a mask to survive. We're believing the lie that COVID was a death sentence. We're believing the lie that we need to obey government telling us to shut down. That's just absurd. The church doesn't need to shut down because someone in the government says it needs to shut down. It's absurd. That in the 18th century, that never would have happened. During the American Revolution, pastors would have laughed at a government coming in and telling them they had to shut down, you know, and they did laugh, and they actually fought against that. So we need to resist tyranny. We have a sacred obligation to resist what is being done.
I'm aware of a Methodist church that has a female preacher who is a lesbian. This is just, I mean, I can't imagine something being more absurd. Who's leading right. These people? Why are we replacing the crucifix on churches with this rainbow-colored gay homosexual representation abomination flag? I mean, what is happening? I mean, we should be vehemently rejecting that. This is a sin.
Right. We're being made to believe that a woman who is a lesbian and calls herself a pastor is a pastor. She's not a pastor. She's not a shepherd in the sense of God's word. You know, the Bible lays out stipulations for people to be ministers that are pretty austere. And that she even has a following is if she has two people in her service or one on a Sunday morning, that's wrong. It's a crime.
And the whole congregation just goes along with it. And if you tell any member of the congregation, this is not right, this is a sin against God, they look at you like you're just a hateful being. And they tell me that. They tell me, how dare you judge? It's who is it for you to judge? Well, yes, I am judging the fruit of this woman.
Right. You're not really evil. You're not what they say you are. You're what God says you are. And God doesn't say that standing against evil, you know, the scripture says that the righteous contend with evil. in the book of Proverbs. I'm paraphrasing, but the righteous man doesn't go along with evil. They resist it. And so it's the loving, you're showing more love than somebody who's saying we need to pull off these restraints and allow, you know, homosexuality to run rampant in our society. We're giving, think about the next generation, our children, you know, what they're going to face because we're not standing up and fighting this nonsense, this evil. It's demonic.
Is our nation being judged right now? Is that what this is? Is this judgment from God?
You know, I think in many ways, I think it is. You know, God has said to Israel many times, if you turn away from me, I will turn away from you. And in fact, he says, I will send your enemies to destroy you. And we know in Israel's history, as they backslid, that happened. And America, you know, I believe the same thing still holds today. When a nation turns its back on God, God lets its enemies triumph over it. So I think that we're actually being led by our enemies. Joe Biden is an enemy of America. So are his entire administration. Like you said, there was fraud in the 2020 election. The election was stolen. A dog could understand that our election was stolen. Doesn't even take a brain. You just look at what happened. It was so obvious that I don't need to have recounts. I know it was stolen. The American people didn't put Joe Biden in the White House.
An acting member of President Trump's cabinet, Rick Grenell, is an open homosexual. You say anything about that, Trump people jump all over you and tell you that you're not trusting the plan. It's just absolute insane. This is idolatry, isn't it?
Right. And I've had people say to me, I've had people that are Christians that are friends of mine say, we need to really be open to some of the people that are conservative homosexuals that want to be involved in this battle.
Conservative homosexuals, that's an oxymoron. That doesn't even sound
right.
No,
you can't. You can't, because what it does is, look at Sodom and Gomorrah, how God destroyed them by fire. Peter said that they are an example to nations that would live ungodly thereafter. So when we look at that, we can't wink at homosexuality, because God will destroy the nation that countenances those things. So I don't know why Donald Trump has that person in his cabinet. I don't understand. He may be a big supporter, but, you know, I would rather have someone that's righteous in my cabinet than somebody who's bringing the judgment of God on my administration because of his evil behavior.
A recent photo on Twitter with Rick Grenell and a bunch of other homosexuals holding up a Trump Pride rainbow-colored flag. Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago shaking hands. The first hands that he shakes is that of a transgender freak show called Bruce Jenner, a mentally ill man pretending to be a woman called Caitlyn. I mean, this is all the leaders of our country, the people who hold the most sway over people, the top members of our bureaucracy, our illegitimate regime, the empire of lies. These are all flagrant, openly cross-dressing homosexuals. We have this, this woman calling herself Rachel, which is really a mentally ill man called Dick. These people are the heads of our country. You look at Hollywood, right? As I mentioned before you came on, I mean, Hollywood is depicting homosexuality everywhere. Our churches, we have to stand against this. And we're happy to hear that America's Black Robe Regiment is doing that. All 50 states is a pretty tall task. Is there any way that anybody can help to support this? And where can people go to find more information?
Well, they can go to our website at ABRR. There's the initials of the organization, .us. And they can donate on our website. And what we're looking for, Stu, is we're looking to recruit 1,000 people, not to give away their livelihoods or their retirements, but simply to support us to the tune of $5 a month. If we can get 1,000 people to do that, to make that small donation once a month, it'll transform what we're able to do, and we'll be able to fulfill this mission. And I believe we're going to fulfill it. You know, I believe that one of the things we had pastors do is sign our Gideon. We had a Gideon's 300 pledge that says pastors sign it and they agree to preach the whole counsel of God. They agree to preach a minimum of one election sermon before every election. They agree to tell their flocks that they have to vote. It's not an option. You can't just stay home on election day because you're tired or because you don't like the candidates. You have to vote. You have a sacred obligation to vote. And that we say things in the pledge that liberty is the church's cure. Liberty is the church's sacred obligation. We have a sacred obligation to secure liberty, not just to our own generation, but to our posterity, the next generation. We have a sacred duty to do that. And if we don't do it, we are sinning against God. So those are the kinds of things we've had about 200, 250 pastors across America sign that pledge, and we're looking to get more. They can get that on our website. And again, we just need people to donate. We don't need $1,000 a person. We just need a lot of people to donate $5 a month. And that will go an amazing distance to helping us accomplish this vision.
I think you'll have 1,000 people or more with $5 a month or more by the end of this broadcast. Amazing stuff that you're saying, and thank you for being proud to represent the truth of God and not being lukewarm. As we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, yeah, God blew up two whole cities over the kind of behavior that we are now propping up in this country. It's a disgrace. Reverend Bill Cook, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. God bless you, sir.
He made several good points there. One obviously about the 501c3. For 50 years we've been telling people here, do not get that, because they didn't understand what that means. If you sign for and you sign up for the 501c3, you agree in a contract, in a covenant, that the state, not Christ, is your head. Now, see, you can't have somebody, if something has two heads, what is it? Because I've had some of these pastors tell me, well, yeah, the state's our head, but so is Christ. No, you can't have two heads, right? So you agree, and that if you, when you sign that, you agree that you are a corporation, not the living body of Christ. The church is the living body of Christ. Once you agree in a covenant with that, and you sign that, then you become what?
Beholden.
A corporation is a non-living creation corpus, non-living creation of the state. You agree that's what you are. You agree that the state is your head. You're a non-living creation of the state. Look up in their definition of who the pastor is. That gives you two definitions. They take it from Black's Law Book. One of them, if you read it up, it's an intercessor between the assembly and the state. The other is a spy for the state against the assembly. Look it up, okay? And because they don't use the word pastor. It's agent. It's called agent. That's what they use for the word pastor, for agent. So a lot of people don't realize this. We've been telling people for 50 years, get out of there. If you're in the 501c3, get out of there. Because most of these pastors have no idea what they're doing when they get into it. You know why? Because they're listening to the lawyers or the accountants, and they don't know any better. Right, Big John?
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, with that 501c, you also have to agree to the IRS. So, and they go by policy, or there's language which I just can't think of right now. But in other words, if you preach the gospel.
Yeah, if you preach against anything like sodomy, they haven't, but they can threaten to take your property. See, once you sign that, even if your church is paid for, you have full use of the property, but actually it belongs to them. It literally belongs to, in other words, if you sell that property, you can sell it to another 501c3, but you can't sell it to an actual independent church. And so a lot of people don't know this.
But, no, I don't know the fine details of it. But I do know that if you preach something contrary to the accepted, there's language, accepted values or something like that, they can shut you down. So you're in the same boat with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so.
But Pastor, I think I've heard you say in the past that there's an exit. There's a way out. So those 501c3 churches, they can back themselves out of that, right?
Biblical Law Association will show you, but you got to do it exactly the way they tell you to do it. You got to do it step by step, and they can get you out of that, okay?
There's the hope.
Yeah, we've gotten several out. We've gotten several out.
Good.
And so there was another guy named Jonathan some years ago, and he started a university not far from here, didn't he?
Yes, you're talking about Charles Finley, right?
Oh, yeah, Charles Finley, I was thinking of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he, in 1873, wrote this, which is 150 years, pretty much to the date, it's come all of it to fruition. Charles Finley, the great evangelist and president of Oberlin College, saw this coming as early as 1873, and he prophetically stated in the last paragraph of a sermon titled The Decay of Conscience, "If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it." So all of this has happened.
It's happened. Again, like I said, we've been preaching this now for 50 years, and by God's grace, more and more people are starting to figure it out. And, you know, Charles Finney would be very unhappy. He would roll with what Oberlin College has become.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the most liberal colleges out there.
Now, we just heard in this clip that pastor talking about women pastors, these lesbians. First of all, the Bible doesn't stutter. Women are not to be pastors of the churches. Women are not to be. The Bible is very clear on that. But a lot of these pastors are afraid. They're afraid to say that. They're just scared to death to say that. And you got to say, you got to just be bold and tell the truth. Now, you have, when we know that Peter says judgment begins in the house of the Lord, but it begins in that pulpit. And no place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpits of churches. See, they had a responsibility. It kind of works this way. The Bible is very clear. From Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Okay? From Genesis all the way through, everywhere you take a look, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. If you don't want to read the whole Bible, just go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Read the chapter, and it gives you a good example right there. And we've been preaching on that. John, when we went back, when 1962, when God was expelled from the public schools, the pastors, it works this way, right? God has expectations, especially of the pastors. The pastors have obligations to God, don't they?
Absolutely, Pastor.
And the pastors had the obligations to march on Washington, D.C., and that court that ruled, that expelled God from the public school, they had a responsibility to put those people up for treason against God and country. The pastors failed. 1973, when they passed Roe v. Wade, virtually what happened was that court that was supreme only in their sin and their rebellion against God. They committed high treason against God and country. The pastors had the obligation to go to march to Washington, D.C., and put that court on trial for treason. There was 100 of us went. There should have been 10,000 of us. There should have been 10,000 of us. The pastors failed. I actually had a couple of those pastors tell me, if you keep preaching what you're doing, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. You know why? They were 501c3s. But they failed. They failed.
Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
I'm an old-timer now, and I remember vividly about prayer and Bible reading being removed from school.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, to the best of my knowledge, there wasn't a whimper from the pastors about it.
Well, there was a whimper, but that's about what it was. There was a few, but not, you're right.
I don't call that, a few, Pastor. So they allowed the government, because it meant the government, really, separation of church and state. They applied it to the schools, but they allowed it to be, allowed the Lord to be removed. And, you know, this isn't neutral, Pastor Ernie. There's a spiritual realm there. And week by week or year by year, Satan gained ground within the schools and within the government. And now look what it has. We have. So I think the situation here goes right back to the church's failure in 1962-63.
Absolutely. What he just read for Charles Finney, we have that on a great big heart. It's about 3 feet wide and about 4 feet long, I think. and what he just read, what Charles Finney said, because we have that in the church. We want people to remember that. And so, but Roe v. Wade, that was when it really, what they really, because what happened, that court ruled, look, what God has made unlawful, and that is the transgression of God's dominion. Remember, when God gave us the covenant, when he made the Noahic covenant, and that was the covenant of the definition of divine human government, divine, real, legitimate human government, okay? He made 5 points very clear. Do you remember those 5 points, Ron? Okay, I'll tell it to you again, I guess. Okay. 5 points. This is real government, okay? Real government. What we have is a really poor excuse for government now, okay? The very first point was to whom it was given. You find that in Genesis chapter 9, verses 10, 11, and you find it in verse 12 and verses 15 and 16. To all living, to perpetual generations, to all mankind, perpetual generations, and this was expanded all to every dispensation. This is the only one that expands every dispensation, period, okay? So that was to whom it was given. Second was the intent. The intent, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. That's the intent. Three, this is the important part, because this is the entire purpose of divine human government given to us by God. And that's verses 5 through 7. And that is, God gave man dominion over the entire environment, okay? But he kept dominion of man for himself. He kept dominion of man. So whoever destroyed man or transgressed God's dominion, he had to forfeit his own life. That's where we got the statute of the death penalty, okay? And then the fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God, God's laws, God's precepts, God's covenants, God's promises, all of these things. It's God's statutes. This is, in fact, just 119th Psalm. If you read 119th Psalm, that's how man was to govern for God, with that Psalm. And then the fifth point was all peoples and nations that would be in compliance with the first four would be at peace and not at war with God. There ain't no nations out here today that are at peace with God, are there?
No.
And say, that's that, but you know what? Even most of the pastors don't even know that. Even most of the pastors don't know that, and that's pathetic. That's one of the first things they should learn, you know. But anyhow, folks, you're here it now, right? And then, what is the most misrepresented passages of all of Scripture? John would know. John, the most twisted and spun.
Romans 13.
Romans chapter 13.
But that's so easily refuted, because you can say, if the government says, go to your neighbor's house, chop their head off, are you going to do it?
Well, you see, the point of it is the prissy preachers
they use
that
it
are
as
afraid.
Cover.
Yeah, we've had these. I actually had one tell me one time, as long as abortion's legal and the government says it's legal, you'll never see me protest it.
Yeah.
So who is his God?
Caesar.
The government.
Caesar. That's right. And I told him, I said, I don't think I'll ever see you do anything that takes any courage or integrity. And then he made another point. He says, my Bible doesn't tell me that we are to resist the government, even if it's corrupt. I said, really? I said, have you ever heard of something called the prison epistles? He said, of course. I says, why do you think they're called prison epistles? He said, because they were written from prison. I said, were they in prison for obeying God or the government? Hey, you got a point. I think I'm going
to... Every time I hear you say that, that's Pastor Ernie, that's really good.
Well, that's true, though. You see, but that's the mindset out there that they did. Go back. Do you remember back in the early 60s when you had the German Enlightenment movement come in? That was the big start of all that here back then. All right, we're coming up to a a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him. Said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about my dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above, how that they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, tell them what he's done for. Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
All right, John, we're going to give you 7 minutes tonight to do the invitation. Is that enough?
Yes, thank you, Pastor.
All right, you're welcome. Well, you know, you have people talking about one of the things, while we were going to break, we have people called in, and one of them said that Dickie Morris is on a radio station there in Massachusetts. Didn't they say every day? Okay.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday? Okay. And another lady called in and wanted us to pray for Donald Trump. But, you know, Donald Trump is not the perfect candidate. The only perfect man that ever walked the face of the earth is coming back, but he's not here now, okay? But now, here, Donald has made a lot of mistakes, okay? And in that, first of all, He could have done a lot better with his spiritual advisors than he did, okay? Paula White was not the best choice there, okay? Also, does God get conformed, okay? As when God is immutable, what does that mean that God's immutable?
It means never changes.
He's the same today, tomorrow, forever. So now, so what if, what does he say about how many homosexuals are going to heaven, John?
None in their sin, Pastor Ernie. They have to come out of the sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and his shed blood on the cross. They'll be in heaven, but none in their sin, Pastor.
So if they come out of their sin, then they're no longer homosexuals, are they?
Right.
Okay, right. So the young people in this country think, well, it's showing love with diversity, and by accepting sodomy and bestiality and pedophilia, you're showing love. Is that what God's Word, the Bible, teaches?
No, Pastor Ernie. Those, in fact, the scriptures are very clear about those that agree with people in sin like that, that they get the same judgment.
Well, yeah, it kind of looks that way in Revelation 21, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6,
Romans
1, we just read it.
The last verse in Romans.
Yeah, we just read it. So here now, let's just say on Fox News, there's a woman who's a lesbian. She's an open lesbian, but she's conservative. She's very conservative. Now, by her being conservative, does that justify her being a lesbian?
Absolutely not.
No, it doesn't. Okay. And Trump needs to know this, when this thing about going to an LGBT to get their support. The Bible says, okay, how much fellowship can light have with darkness?
Zero.
How much fellowship does Christ have with Belial?
Zero.
Okay, so we don't hate the Sodomites, do we?
No, we want them to repent of the sin and come to Christ.
Right, we do. Now, the difference is those people out there, the LGBTQ, they hate us. They hate us, but we don't hate them because we know what's going to happen. We know what their end is going to be, right? It's not a good end, right? So we want them to repent, don't we? And we keep telling them, repent or perish, right? Tomorrow we're going to be talking, yeah.
Let me read a scripture to back up exactly what we're saying. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11.
Yep.
Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, nor fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor those, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's a reference to homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. See, they were like that, but you've been washed, but you've been sanctified, but you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
And so that's what we want for them, isn't it? And so,
Pastor.
And so
Jesus died on the cross.
Absolutely. Tomorrow, we're going to be going out because we have these people, these wicked, wicked people, excuse me, that are out, and they're getting petitions signed for this legislation. Is right from the pit of hell. It is right from the pit of hell. And we're going to be going out now, up here in our area, Doers of the Word Church. We're going to be meeting at the church at about 12:30 at 14781 Sperry Road. It's 14781 Sperry Road. And we're going to go to different areas where these people are out there with their little clipboards getting signatures. And this signature to this, on these petitions, and it's the what they call the Abortion Rights Amendment to the Constitution, okay? The Abortion Rights Amendment to the Constitution. They want to amend our Constitution here in Ohio.
But that's not what they're calling it, Pastor. They're calling it women's health care, women's reproductive rights.
Yeah,
that's
women,
what they're calling
yeah,
it. Women's reproductive rights.
That's what they're calling it, but it's about killing babies. And so here's the thing. Not only is it about what it would that what that legislation would literally do, an amendment to the Constitution, it would erase all of the pro-life laws legislation we've got passed in Ohio here. It would erase that, okay? I was on the board of Ohio Right to Life for 21 years before we went over to Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee. But and our position is no compromise where it comes to child killing at all. But not only that, but what it would do, it would give them the ability in the public school system to take your little child without your permission or even knowledge and have it mutilated, huh? And have they promote this transmutilation on the little children. They also want to be able to, again, go into the public restaurants, the restrooms. They want to be able to, just force these perverts on the little girls, like they did at Target stores where they were in there with their smartphones taking pictures of little girls in the bathrooms, okay? So this is, and then also pedophilia. They want to, in the long run, they want to legalize pedophilia, okay? And so this is why we're out there fighting this thing with everything we have. So when they're going to be out there with their petitions, we're going to go out there and let them know what they're doing. Tell them they got to repent or perish. Okay, so if you folks, you want to go with us out here in Northeast Ohio, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry. We're going to be there at about 12:30. We'll meet, and we're going to go out to the different locations. So I would encourage you folks out there listening to us tonight to come on out and join us tomorrow.
Hey, right? Pastor, can yes, I sir. Interject something there? There's another element of this. There's a group of us that are pushing back on some of the signatures that have been collected. And forgive me, I don't remember the numbers. I think they need 450,000 signatures or something. It's a big lift.
Yeah.
But so what Planned Parenthood and these left have done is they have a small army of people from all over the country that have come into Ohio, and they're running around with these clipboards. Well, I firmly believe that they're either filled with lies or they're just wrong-headed and misdirected. But what they're doing to get signatures is not true. They're telling people all kinds of fictions about what the bill actually means in order to get people to sign. I think that a lot of people are misled, and if people knew that, including our Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, they would void a lot of these signatures.
Well, you're right, but you see, that is just the nature of the Democrat out there today, the pro-death, to mislead, they lie, okay?
Good point.
Okay, I mean, that is their nature. No matter whatever God's Word, the Bible teaches, they're going to be in total opposition, okay? Some years ago, there was a Tom Wedge. He ran a very elite police department, the only one in the entire country. The only cases that they investigated were satanic cases, Satanism. And so they would hold workshops at different police departments. And I attended, they wanted me to attend a workshop, so I attended a workshop. There was like 35 people in the workshop. Well, the school was a school. And all of them were police officer detectives, except for two, myself and one young guy who was a coroner. And in a way, he's a cop too, almost, okay? And so, out of the 35, there was only one person in that class that got 100%, got 100%, and got it really quickly. And who that was me. And do you know why that was? It's because I understood what the Bible taught. And all I knew that every single question would be in total opposition to what the Bible taught. So on every subject that they had, I whizzed through it. And the chief, and Tom Wedge, he came in and he told me, he said, this is the guy you need here in your department right here, okay? And this is what everything, and think about this, everything that the Democratic Party, their whole platform, is totally in total opposition to whatever God's Word the Bible teaches. Everything. You name something. Abortion, sodomy, pedophilia, whatever it is. They hate God.
That's true. And they used to sort of try to hide it. But the last couple of years, they've just gotten emboldened. They don't even try anymore. It's just blatant.
The Bible teaches that there will come those... John in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about they'll come in verse 4 preaching another Jesus that we haven't preached, okay? And the Jesus that they preach, and I've discussed this with these people, he is one who is non-judgmental and tolerant. He accepts you the way you are, and he's not judgmental. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, was there ever a man, when it came to sin, okay, that was less tolerant than the Lord Jesus Christ? Now,
well, when he dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers in them, he was merciful with, like, the woman that was brought before him, but he said to her, go and sin no more.
So he didn't say, don't go in and don't sin quite as much, right, or... He said,
sin no.
Okay. If we read Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11, about the Messiah that's coming back, how tolerant is he of sin? None. Zero. He's got zero tolerance. So there you go. How much time do I have, Kyle? Hey, Kyle? All righty, John, you've got 7 minutes to tell the folks out there, tell all of them Democrats how they can avoid hell and how they can get to heaven. They need to know.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, if you got time at the end, maybe you could ask them to contact you, who's confessed Christ, for follow-up.
I do that now and then. You're right. Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Could you talk more directly into your phone, because you're kind of breaking up?
Yeah. Everybody, salvation, eternal life with God through Christ. And the Bible tells us, and it prophesied 800 years before Christ came, the prophet Isaiah told us what he was going to do. And he describes his death on the cross. I want to read a couple scriptures to you about prophecy about Jesus Christ. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, iniquities includes homosexuality, folks. All of the LGBT community there, all their sin comes under iniquity in the Bible. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, and here it is again, the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, took the iniquity. So no matter how vile our sin was, we can be forgiven. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and for judgment. And who shall be for his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. The Bible's telling us Jesus died on the cross for our sin. I have two more verses I want to read. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. God did that for us, folks. Jesus had to take the penalty and price for our sin. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he became sin for us. He shall see the seed, that's us, and he shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And here's the last verse. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So,
Are you there, John?
Yes.
Yeah, for some reason you keep breaking up. Could maybe, can you speak directly into the mic?
Yeah, So we go to the book of Revelation and chapter 5, and it tells us how the people tell us how they got to heaven. It says he died for us and redeemed us by his blood. And then it says out of every tribe, every language, every people and every nation, no matter who you are listening to me, no matter what your background is, God doesn't care. The only thing he cares about is faith in Jesus Christ. So what it takes to have salvation, which has been provided for us by God through Christ, is repentance of sin, turning away from sin and Jesus Christ and his word, believing that on the cross, Jesus shed his blood, paid the penalty for our sin, and he rose again the third day. And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise from God. It's been prophesied in the Bible, and the people in heaven tell us that they're there through the death of Jesus and his shed blood, and they are from every walk of life, every culture, every language. So heaven is open to everyone who will repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Okay, Pastor.
Okay, let me ask you this. Has anyone ever regretted getting saved?
Well, I can tell you one thing, Pastor Ernie. I sure never did.
All the people now that have lived and died, every one of them, those that went to heaven and those that went to hell, they're all believers today, aren't they?
They sure are.
Some are believing in glory and some are believing in torment, but they're all believers today. And when these people tell me, well, I don't believe what you're saying, I tell them, you will. There's no chance at all that you won't.
Pastor Tony, the Bible tells us all are going to be resurrected. Everyone is going to be resurrected.
Yep.
Some for eternal life and some for eternal damnation.
Yeah, I know it. All right, we're out of time for tonight, but folks, remember this, the Founder Unwoke Investment, the unwokeinvestments.org or .com, right? Okay, Unwoke Investments. Go there and find out what you need to do. Tell them what they have to do.
It's actually unwokeinvesting.org. And the thing to do is find me. You'll find my contact information. Get a hold of me. And please help us to sort through. There's massive data on these voter rolls, the registrations for Democrat voters. We're going to find all the bad ones, and we're going to work to uncover them. We're going to expose these people.
Let's get right on it right now. If we get enough of it, we can do it, can't we?
Absolutely.
All right, folks, you hear it out there, so... do that, and then you're going to give us an update on how things are going, how we progress, right?
Absolutely.
All right,
keep you
very, very good. All right. Thanks for being here again tonight, Big John.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie.
And Kyle, Ron, and Jonathan, thanks for being here tonight, fellas. And so at this time, every night we do the same thing. We say, good night. Say good night. We say, God bless, right? Say good night, God bless. And then we say always, ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right, what's left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.